Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And this is the Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M, and it's all thanks to all our mates at King G. Of course, they have been king of industry since 1926. Comfort is quality. Quality is king. Comfort for kings. They're currently making hoops of shirt with the triceps cut out of it, so that'll look lovely when it's done. Gordy Tallis, maroon and hoops. We've got a special guest on the phone all the way from the beautiful, beautiful city of the Gold Coast, which we love. Jai Arrow, welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin.
Hey, boys, how you going? It's actually not a good day up here. It's pissing down, so jinxed it, I think.
So that's what suburb do you live at, Jai?
So I'm in Burleigh Heads. I've got my own little place there, and I'm doing renovations too, so I'm in a nice little spot.
Yeah, just down the road from Redfern.
Yeah, well, it's just Redfern is just like Burleigh, mate. You'll love it.
Yeah, a long way away, but exactly, I reckon.
Hey, Joy, just to let you know, Anthony is a tragic South supporter, so he's so happy that you're gone, and that's why he's pretty much sucking up to you. He bags the Titans every day. He's bagged them today on radio for about an hour, and he gets the pleasure, because I'm sitting in the Brisbane studio, so he gets the pleasure of just basically having a shot personally at you, because you're our best player. So that's what he does when he bags the Titans.
Nonsense, Joy, but what do you say to that?
Oh, look, what can I say? Everyone's got their own opinion, and I suppose if that's your opinion, then that's what you stick with. So I'm not going to say anything about that. But, obviously I made the decision to go down. But I love the club up here, and I love the Gold Coast as well. So I'm not going to say a bad word about that.
Well said, mate. Hey, what have you been doing? You mentioned that you're up there in Burleigh Heads, and you're working on a property. Is that how you've been spending your time in self-isolation, or...?
Yeah, look, I've obviously just trying to keep myself occupied. It's obviously different circumstances to what we're used to, and I've actually gone and helped out my best mate. His family owns a company up here, and I was out on a childcare centre helping with that for a couple of days. Just trying to keep sane, really, and I've been training heaps and, obviously trying to keep isolated from the public as well, because, it's pretty crazy what's going on around the world with all this coronavirus stuff.
How is the training going, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm pretty lucky that my mates, mum and dad, Jamie and Sean, they have a pretty good setup with the gym and that. So I've been getting out here and doing as much gym as I can, and then running with one of the coaches as well, just like a sort of closed session by myself or with one of the other boys as well, just trying to keep fit and be prepared for hopefully when the season starts coming up.
What have they told you, the club, Joy, in terms of when you can actually start to go back to training in some smaller groups?
Yeah, look, I'm not 100% sure with that. I know we got a text here or WhatsApp message the other day about we could be back training as close as the 4th of next month. So hopefully that can happen. We can get the ball rolling and we're back training normally. And obviously, there's talk where we're probably going to have to set up camp somewhere in Sydney in a few weeks, but I'm definitely all for it if it keeps the game alive and we can get back playing keep everyone sane, not only us, but the fans as well, because I think everyone around Australia wants to see, or around the world, sorry, wants to see sport back playing.
So just let me go back there for a minute with you. You'd be more than happy as a current player that if you had to cross the border and you had to set up a base in Sydney and you were here for a month, 6 weeks, 2 months, whatever it is, you'll do whatever it takes to get the game back up and running?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't see why not. Obviously, I'm sort of in a different predicament to some other boys who have little kids and families like that. But, I feel as though the game's given us as players so much that I don't see why we can't give back to the game and get it back up and running, because obviously there's huge talk on that the game's not financially in a stable position, and if that's what it takes to, help the game, then I'm definitely all for it and more than happy to sacrifice whatever it may be to keep the game back up and running and keep it around for a long time, because I came out openly and said, I love the game, I play it because I love it, and I guess the day I play rugby league for money is probably the day I retire. So, I'm all for it. I definitely want that to happen.
Yeah, well said, mate.
Jai, what about, like, all things being equal, we get back on the field, you've played the rest of this season with the Gold Coast Titans, and, mate, you're surrounded, that's not the word, but there's a handful of big-name players that have gone to the Gold Coast on good money, and for one reason or the other, be it they haven't settled in or they're injured or whatever, for one reason or another, a couple of those blokes haven't sort of really aimed up, I don't think, to what they're being paid. How is that sort of changed under the new regime, under a new coach?
Oh, look, I think it's just, it all comes down to hard work, and if you're not working hard, you're not going to get results. But no, I think during the preseason and that, we've trained our asses off, and we've done all we can to put ourselves in the right shape, mentally and physically. It just sort of hasn't worked for us. I wish I knew the answer to fix it, but it just hasn't worked. But Justin's been great. He's brought in some things that I think have helped us, and I've really enjoyed his company, and not only his as well, but I love the boys up there. I love the coaching staff, but it just seems that it's just not gelling at the moment. But hopefully we can, I guess, find that solution and win some games, because I don't think we've felt that winning feeling for a while now. And you know, it hurts as well, especially being a Gold Coast kid that has grown up here and, just not winning games. It's hurting, but hopefully we can find that solution pretty soon.
It's often that, when a player like yourself, you've signed with another club, you'll be at another club next year, but you've got to see this year out with the Gold Coast Titans. I, as a rugby league fan, don't have a problem with that, but a lot of people seem to. How do you feel about sort of playing for one club knowing you'll be at another club next year?
No, that's not the type of person I am. I'm the type of guy that no matter what jersey I'm putting on, or no matter what I'm doing, I'll always put my heart into it, and I come out openly and said I want this to be probably the best year that I've had with the club, and that's what I'm focusing on and want to do for the club. Leaving, I guess, on a good note with not only the club but the fans as well.
What did you think of the Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk's comments during the week, Jai, about State of Origin should be called off, and certainly there won't be a game played in Queensland?
Yeah, look, that's a hard one. I guess she's just trying to put our health in the best interest, and I totally understand that. But being a player, I guess everyone's getting really bored and getting really frustrated, and I don't know if she come up with a hashtag "Let us play" or something like that. But that's totally. I know she's definitely got our health at her best interest, and I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But if it's all safe and well to go, then I don't see why not. We can't get back playing and Origin go ahead.
Hashtag let us play. Hey, do you know, before you come on, Jai, and I know that you probably weren't listening to Anthony, but Anthony said, because he was teasing me about the Titans, and I said that the Titans are going to go on a running streak and we might win five in a row. And Anthony comes up with stupid bets, and he said that if the Titans win five in a row, he's going to get a sex change.
Yeah.
Can we put that up at Parkwood or whatever? Just put it up, mate, on the training board, that there's a radio jock in Sydney that doesn't think we can win five games in a row and he'll get a sex change.
100%, I'm all for it. I might get that sorted.
Hashtag Maroon gets a sex change.
Well, let's worry about it after you win five in a row, Jai.
Well, I'll hold you to that too.
I was only joking, mate. I even said that, mate. You live up there in God's country, but we can't wait to get you at South. And thank you for your time this afternoon, Jai Arrow.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Good on you, mate. Jai Arrow joining us from the Gold Coast Titans. And while all that was going on.
Anthony, why don't you just, mate, why do you say silly things? Okay, look, I don't have a filter, but if I say something, I've got to sit there and cop the criticism. Why do you always back out?
Mate, I said it and immediately said I'm joking, right? So.
No, you weren't joking.
I wasn't joking. We think I want to get a sex change.
Throw it out there because you genuinely believe that it isn't going to happen, right?
Oh, I know
and
it isn't going
you
to
realize,
happen.
Hang on a second. I might be in a little bit of Barney Rubble here. As per usual, in we go in reverse.
Yeah.
Throw it in reverse.
All right, boys. Thank you to Jai Arrow. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. And I am not getting a sex change. We are going to do rapid fire footy with these two knuckleheads, Hoops and Gordy Tallis, as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Saturday Sin Bin at Triple M_NRL. Rob has contacted us from Varsity Lakes, which is a suburb of the Gold Coast. and he says, "Hey guys, loving the show today, Maroon. You are a LEG ledge." He says, "Do you think now that the footy season is going? Do you think now that the footy season is going to be shorter, the Titans might have a better chance of winning the premiership? I hear their odds have come in from 400,000 to 1 to 300,000 to 1." Rob, if that's your attempt to be funny, that's an insult. Gordy, I apologise for that.
Mate, listen, again. Stop reading now out fake news. Hashtag,
I should have pre-read that.
Fake emails, hashtag fake news.
There you go again.
Hashtag fake teeth.
You wonder why people accuse you of making things up. You just pull things out of the bull eye pass.
I don't wonder
just
why.
Just let them roll.
I don't wonder why they do it.
Oh, mate. Honestly.
Time for rapid fire footy. First question. So I'm just going to these are just questions that people have sent in and whatnot.
Do we need buzzers?
Oh, I don't need anything, no. Okay, here we go. First one, I'm just going to throw this at you both. Favourite grand final of all time, and obviously for you, Gordy, it's not one that you played in. What is your favourite grand final of all time?
That's really tough. There's been some great ones. Newcastle, Manly, Balmain, Canberra. Do you know what? It was when North Queensland beat the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and South, mate, that was an emotional night there. So to stand there, there's been four grand finals that sort, or four or five that come to mind. But being there on the ground, I was working for Channel 9 at the time, and the emotions come over me twice since I've retired. When South won, to see a grandfather hugging his son, hugging his grandson, and they all had tears in their eyes, that's what rugby league's about for me, and it was 40-odd years since they won, so... So that connection between a family and South winning was unbelievable. But when the Broncos got beaten beaten in Golden Point by the Cowboys, just the buzz out there, I've never felt it. And because, I don't know, and maybe because I'm biased, but there was two Queensland teams and the crowd wanted their team to win. But if the other team won, they were happy. So it was like, you know, like the whole stadium was buzzing, and what a great moment. So I'd have to say the Cowboys versus the Broncos. That's the best moment I've had in rugby league.
Okay, what about you? You got a grand final that sticks out for you, Hoops?
As Gordy touched on, it's bloody hard to separate because grand finals are such momentous occasions. And always,
they're all good in their own right.
That's it, yeah. I'll tell you what I have enjoyed, Gordy, is watching a lot of the old grand finals lately because we haven't got any normal footy standard programming football on at the moment. But look, the one that I would go for would be the 2003 grand final when Scotty Sattler made that cracking cover tackle on Todd Byrne. I think it's such a great storyline for rugby league that, you know, all his life Scott Sattler had to live
in a big shadow.
In the shadow of his old man, who is John Sattler, who's this absolute, you know, hero and icon. And just the cornerstone of toughness in rugby league. And then when his moment arrived in that game, and I'll never forget sitting in the press box, and you know the late, great Chippy Frilingos was sitting in front of us, and he stood up when Skinny Byrne made the break, and he went, "Put the glasses down, he'll get there." And then he went, "Oh, good luck, Sats." Right?
Wow,
and Sats
great
just
stuff.
Kept going and going and going, and then all of a sudden, bang, he gets here and rounds him up and takes him across the try line, and then all his teammates get around him and celebrate. And that was a moment where you could really see Penrith in that game. We're going to cause one of the great grand final upsets.
And when Sats tells that story at Sportsman's Lunch, his first couple of years he went 20 metres to tackle him, then 50. Then the last time he told the story, he came from the members bar, didn't he, across the field? Good on you, Sats. We
In
know you're listening.
In the 54th minute. In the 54th minute, I think it was.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the great story is I was working at Fox with Sats, and we're at Penrith one day, and the great Andy Raymond stitched him up. He got a piece of paper, and he wrote on it, "That's right. It was the 54th minute. Call me Mr. 54. And he stuck it up on a commentary box so everybody out in the grandstand could, like, read it. And then everybody, and then Sats thoughts, everybody was giving him the thumbs up and mate, congratulations. And Sats off air's going, "See that, mate? Jeez, boys. Jeez, they love me out here, mate. They'll never forget it. Mate, they'll never forget it." They're laughing because of what Andy Raymond wrote. Oh, reversed on the glass. But, mate, Sats was... You know, and it's sad because I think Matty Rogers is another player, you know, that gets compared to his dad.
Mm.
But they had unbelievable careers.
Yeah.
And Scotty Sattler played Origin, and every time you come up against him, it was always a battle. He was a light forward, probably like his dad in, you know, in a certain way. But when that tackle had to be made, it was all about moments. And when you talk about moments in grand finals, it's not about scoring tries. that there's as big as any moment. That's as big as a Thurston field goal. Because that's him at his best. That's him doing what nobody else in the team could do, because there was blokes faster than him that gave up.
Well, I touched on it a moment ago, Gordy, that moment, from a fan's point of view and in the press box where, Peter Frelingos, who covered the game his entire life, stood up and essentially said he didn't think Sats was going to get there.
Yeah.
And, the will that Sats displayed. And then in the aftermath of that, Chippy actually wrote that was the greatest grand final, that particular 2003 edition, that he had ever seen.
Yeah.
So that gives you an indication of just what a strong contest that was.
The Roosters were red hot. Right?
They were.
And the Panthers
were meant to be
unbeatable. Morley was beating everybody up. And Morley was bashing them that day.
Yep.
And I think Jason Kalis and Fletch and all, mate, they were going, mate. The Roosters were pumping like anyone. And then Penrith just stood up. And Marty Lang was getting hammered. And they just kept on coming. Benny Ross. And they're charging into them.
Yep.
And they're getting hit. And they had the two back rows, Pulitura and Nullivar. And they were
the
going.
Hair bears.
Luke Prittis was absolutely outstanding that night, and it was horrible conditions. I remember it being wet,
drizzly,
and he threw a cutout ball to Rooney, and they scored, and everything what they did, they just dismantled the Roosters, who were the best side in the competition.
Yeah. While we're on that too, Gordy, that particular game, I love that column that Matty Johns did in the Telegraph yesterday, where he put together a team, and it was a cracking side, and he had his brother in there playing halfback, and then he had Craig Gower, who was obviously the Panthers captain the year that they won that competition in 2003, on the interchange bench.
Yes.
And in relation to those two players, he wrote a comment saying, "Not to room together, Craig Gower and Andrew Johns." Why would you toured with both of them, Gordy? Yeah. Why would that be?
Oh, mate, they both liked a good time. I'll tell you something about Craig Gower. I think I saw, because it came across my social media feed, it was the toughest side, wasn't it? Like the toughest guys ever to play. Craig Gower one day.
Played, that Matty played with or against.
Yes. Yeah. So we're at Penrith one day, and Craig Gower was Penrith's heart and soul in that team. He was their barometer. So if he's on, they're on. And I remember him playing, I think it was the last round of the year. Penrith couldn't make the finals. They went to Newcastle. He got a compound fracture, so the bone sticking out of his finger. He strapped it up and finished the game. That's how tough he is.
Yeah.
Well, he got knocked out this night. Carl Webb took a run down the short side.
Yep.
He races out to hit him, gets knocked out. And I'm thinking, God, their best player, the one that they're going to look to for inspiration, is out. Well, he got up and got man of the match.
Yeah. I was there
he gets
night.
Taken off in today's game, and he doesn't go back on the field. He got up and absolutely tore us to shreds that night, and I'm like, wow, what a fierce competitor. And then when we went on tour, Piggy loved a good time. Like, he loved having a beer, and he loved going out. And but the next day, Billy Johnson was our trainer, and anybody that knows about Billy Johnson, he is one of the hardest, tough trainers that we ever had, all old school. Well, he would hammer Piggy every morning, and I've never seen a guy train harder on the rower, on the treadmill, getting up and just say if he got home at 2 o'clock or whatever. And he was with the Emu, so he wasn't in the top 17, but I've never seen a guy train harder and keep his attitude up as Craig Gower.
That Panthers side that won the premiership in 2003, the year before they finished, I think, 12th, and then the year before that they finished 14th. So they sort of come from nowhere a couple of years before.
Gower actually got sent the year prior to that, Gowie actually got sent a wooden spoon in the mail. Someone went and put a wooden spoon in his letterbox.
Wow.
That's how much the fans were struggling with how the side was playing at that time. And I reckon that, as you just touched on there, Gordy, the competitor that he is, that really lit a fire inside him. And they came from nowhere that year. Like, nobody gave them a chance.
Nah.
They lost some of their opening games. I think they were two from their opening four games. And Johnny Lang was the coach. And everybody wrote them off. When they played the Roosters that season in the GF, nobody thought they were a snowflake's chance in hell.
I think we played them in week one of those final series.
You did, yeah. Out of Penrith, yeah?
And Dane Carlaw could have scored. He dropped the ball right underneath the post. It might have put us up 18-0 or 18-6 or something like that. And going to Penrith, man, I'm thinking, mate, we got these blokes covered, right? And then we came out of the blocks and we jumped and we thought, they got a soft underbelly. Well, in the second half, they put us to sleep. They put us to the sword. They moved the ball around. They just played us upside down where all their little blokes were in around our big blokes, Gerds and that. They were using their footwork on us and their big blokes were running out our little blokes. And Johnny Lang, mate, doesn't get the credit for going there. And, they had so much talent, but to beat the Roosters that year, mate, the Roosters were by far the best side in the competition for those, you know, I think it was 2002, 3, 4, 5 or whatever when Freddie and all those boys were there. It was a great victory from the Panthers.
And the staple of that Roosters side, Gordy, Ricky implemented that rushing defence, didn't he? And he used Morley and Jason Kalis and Craig Fitzgibbon and they would literally sprint off their line and just bash sides into submission.
Mate, they had the great they had a great back row. I think Fletch was still there, but if he wasn't, mate,
no, he left. He left at the end of 0-2 after they won that clock.
But they had Ricketson, they had Fitzgibbon, and they were as good as any back rowers in the competition. Crocs, who was mad, and they had Morley. That any time he took a hit up, you're looking to see where he was on the line because he just had that X factor. And then you've got Freddie, and then Wingy would come off the bench and make the impact. They had everything that they, you know, that you'd want in a side. I think Minnie was back at fullback, and you know, it was, mate, it was a red hot side. And I remember they changed the way they trained. You know, like when the Bulldogs were going to those finals, they come up with that thing, the Malcolm, where you run and touch the ground on the 10, touch it on the 20, come back. And the Bulldogs were the fittest and toughest side in the comp. Well, then the Roosters started doing hundreds. And this is when, and then basically every team finds out what you're doing or when you play rep sides or whatever. And the Roosters changed it. And they were fitter than everybody else. They were tougher. They could play a higher quality of football. They could play with more intensity for longer than any other side in the competition. And they started doing the hundreds. And you had to do 100 metres on 40 seconds or something like that, turn and come back. Well, they do 20, then they do 30, then they do 50. We started doing them. They were horrible. It was a horrible fitness session. Roosters were doing 100 hundreds.
Wow. God, imagine how fit they must have been.
Yeah. They were doing 100. You know what I mean? Then that was their big thing, that they had to do 100 hundreds on that time, which I remember we did it one day at Suncorp Stadium. I pulled out after 25 with my back. Oh no, but listen, I didn't listen, mate. When it come to the gym, the reason why I was the weakest in the Broncos is because I didn't have to bench press anybody before I tackled them, right? I didn't have to bench press anybody, and I didn't have to run 100 meters. So I had Wendell Saylor and Steven off, so they run the hundreds, and I just run the 20s and 30s. That's it.
Let me ask you this question on the run here. I'll start with you, Hoops, and Gordy, chime in. You talk about that 2003 Panthers side coming from absolutely nowhere to win the comp. Take the grand final out of it. I'm not talking about grand final day itself, but what about that 2005 Tigers side?
Yep.
Much the same?
Yeah, similar style of scenario where certainly nobody had them as making the grand final or the top four at the beginning of the season. None of the experts. Plenty of people wouldn't have even had them in their top eight. They started the season up and down and weren't really particularly making any sort of big statements. And then Tim Sheens, being the brilliant coach and the innovator that he was, you know, really started to utilise the skills of Scott Prince, Robbie Farah, Benji Marshall, and he designed a style of game and started coming up with a few little trick plays and whatnot that just helped them begin to build this momentum. And they rode the wave into the finals. They lost two games going into the finals. I think they actually got beat by Penrith in one of the last rounds. But then they played the North Queensland Cowboys week one of the finals and absolutely smoked them. And then they had the rematch again in the grand final. And we all remember, you know, Benji's flick pass and Pat Richards's run. Yep. I think he'd had 8 or 10 or 11 painkillers or something like that in his ankle to be able to take the field. It was a special night.
That's a Friday night at Maroons. No, but I'm talking about the 05 grand final. I think 2000, other than the Knights, that was an entertaining and attacking year when when Parramatta played the Knights. But 02, 03, 04, the game got really defensive and, you know, the best defensive side was winning, which is always the case anyway. But I think 05, I think the coaches must have got in there and the games, you know, got a bit dull and a bit boring that it became more of an attacking year. And it was the first year that I retired and I was working in the media. And I just realised that it sort of become more about attack. And that's why those two sides, the Cowboys were brilliant with the football that year and so were the Tigers, which made it an entertaining year, actually. But defence wasn't the priority.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, boys. Hoops and Gordy Tallis and Maroon here. It is the Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M. We spoke to Brad Fittler earlier on. Had a lot of people commenting about they only caught the back of the interview. Well, why don't we play it for you again? We'll take a break and we'll come back with it as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin. For King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, that's just about it for another week. The Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M will be here every week while we get through this COVID-19 situation. We're in for the long haul with NRL here at Triple M. But before we go, Hoops, Gordy Tallis does like to cook in his kitchen. A beautiful kitchen he's got too in his new palace there. But, Gordy, you got a recipe for us today.
Yeah. Well, every week, mate, when we're in ISO, I'm going to give you a recipe. And this week is pretty simple and everybody loves it. It's spaghetti bowl.
Oh, beautiful.
Right?
Yep.
And this old Nuna, I had a mate. And up in North Queensland, where I'm from, Townsville, a lot of immigrants come and stayed and they're all farmers, all cane farmers. So in Ingham, it's a... There's a lot of Italians and in... north of Townsville and in Ayr, the Burdekin, same. It was all cane farmers. And an old nonna from there, I went over there one day with one of my mates and the food was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old spaghetti bowl. And I said, how do you get it so good? It was unbelievable. And all she does is and goes to a good butcher and gets a great Italian sausage. Right, so you've got to go to a good butcher and get Italian sausage and you get about a kilo of it. And then you get it out of the skin. So you put it under water, you slice it, put it in your pan with some onion, with some olive oil and some carrot, and just let it simmer, brown it up, let it simmer for about, I'd say half an hour to about 40 minutes. And you put in some tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, or you get the tin tomatoes, peeled, crushed tomatoes. And I put about 3 or 4 tins of that in. And I just let it simmer all day for about four or five hours. And right at the end, I put in a really good sauce, just to top it all off. And my boys love it.
You are a man of many talents, Gordon. I would never have thought that you would know that detail of cooking. That's outstanding.
Mate, and do you know what? And my wife, when we were first courting and to get her over to come over for dinner, that was it, the spaghetti bowl.
So, but you, the Italian sausage, you slice it?
Yeah, well, mate, obviously because it's in the skin. So if you've got a good butcher, which I do, I go out to boutique meats and then you go to your butcher and say, hey, mate, can I get some really good Italian sausage, but like put it in a bag. And you're like, right. So
he's like, minced it.
Minced it. So right. It's just okay. A sausage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, mate, you go there and buy the, and you know what, and if you like Italian sausage, because it's got all the fat, it's got all the flavour in it.
Yeah,
so that's
it.
The secret, mate. So that's the secret. And you know what, Maroon? Try it and tell me whether it's good or not.
I'll have it through the week. Thank you, Gordon. Thank you for another great show and all the best for you in lockdown.
Thank you. That's what's going to happen as soon as I get
home. Can you do that again, please, Gordon? That's amazing how good he does it.
Oh, mate, I'm telling you, I'm finding some hiding spots to do.
Hoops, will catch you on Fox League.
Thanks, Anthony.
Have a great weekend. Up next, we're going to do a replay of Dan Ganane's call of the Raiders and the Roosters in the 2019 Grand Final.
The Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin. For King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Well,
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.